You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's prime baking season, so we put our Food Friday regular Lori Skelton on a mission, baking with more spices than sugar. She used a new cookbook to guide her experiments. She used the new sugar and spice, a recipe for bolder baking.
We're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite spices to bake with? What kinds of secret ingredients do you include in your dessert baking? Share your recipes and your baking secrets now at 800-642-1234. There won't be secrets anymore if you share them, but you still can. 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is one of WPR's most passionate cooks, and she joins us once a month for our Food Friday segment. Lori, welcome back.
Oh, yeah. How can you not get passionate about baking?
Oh, yeah. I was passionate about eating your baking this time.
Yeah.
It was great. So tell us about the inspiration behind this Food Friday segment, the new Sugar and Spice book.
I was really impressed with Samantha Senevaratne's story. She was born in Connecticut, but her parents are from Sri Lanka. She happily admits that when she was growing up, she and her brother fought over the edges of the Betty Crocker box brownies that they had 9 months out of the year. You know, it gets in the corners, it gets on the edges, so it's that perfect combination of crispy and chewy. But then for the other 3 months, when they were visiting family back in Sri Lanka, they were living with people who were harvesting cloves out of trees in the front yard. They were visiting relatives who had actually grown vanilla orchids and had to hand pollinate each of those flowers in order to get a vanilla pod. So here's someone who has a great idea of what great American sweet baking is, but how you can take great spices. Comparing her recipes to a lot of the recipes I've seen in Joy of Cooking or even some of my straight cookie cookbooks, she's probably using about two-thirds less sugar than we would. Now, I've always loved working with spices, but I've been told in the past that when I add extra cloves or extra nutmeg, that it overpowers whatever I've made. What Samantha Senevaratne has done in this cookbook is she's found a way to balance less sugar and more spice so that each one complements the other. I'm not saying these are perfectly healthy, no-sugar recipes. There is sugar in them, but she has dialed back on that. And in some cases, she has added amounts of spice that I would have thought would have been just toxic, and they're gorgeous. I mean, a tablespoon of nutmeg is a lot
of nutmeg.
And she makes it work. It's really wonderful.
So when you made some of these recipes, I know there's pepper, there's other stuff involved. Do they taste spicy? Are you eating these thinking, oh, this is hot pepper, oh, this is nutmeg, clove, so on?
I brought in one recipe that specifically had pepper in it where you wouldn't have expected. Chocolate cherry quick bread with pepper in it. Did you think it was spicy?
I didn't, no. And it was. I did think it was fantastic.
Okay.
And it wasn't just, obviously in this case, it wasn't just to add more sugar to add more flavor.
No, this is where I think this young woman has really come up with something genius. She, for instance, with pepper, she knows that this is a spice that will wake up your taste buds. So she's got it there to basically make everything else taste better, not to make it taste peppery. And yes, black pepper, dark chocolate, sour cherries, and less sugar than I would have seen in a normal chocolate cherry quick bread before. And it wasn't hot and spicy. It was just...
It wasn't hot and spicy, but it had a kick, I would say. There was just like a little pop of something.
Right. But rather than thinking, oh, that's a pepper pop, you're thinking, oh, the cherries taste better, or oh, the chocolate tastes richer.
Yeah.
The other lovely thing about this is that a lot of her baked goods have a lighter texture than some I've come across. One of the chocolate cakes I made out of this cookbook actually had coconut oil instead of butter, and the texture was delightful. Light, and I was expecting this would fall apart in a day. It was so light, but the crumbs still held together 3 days in. So she's got a good sense of what will enhance flavor without weighing down the actual element. The other nice thing about having something that's not so sweet, I will admit, my big problem is portion control. if something is delicious, I can't eat just one. But when you don't have all of that sugar working on your taste buds and your brain, it is actually easier to eat just one or two cookies or a smaller slice of the cake or pie. So, again, I am not saying these are healthy, but her recipes are styled in such a way that you can eat a little less and not feel deprived.
Talking to Lori Skelton about baking with a little less sugar and making up for it with spices, maybe sometimes some unexpected spices. You can join in if you have done something like this or have a question about how to work some spices into your baking. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Go to the Central Time Facebook page. We've got a recipe there that we'll be talking about in a little bit. Hint, triple ginger cookies, ice cream sandwiches made with them. Pretty good. We'll go to a caller. We've got Jenny on the line in Green Bay. Jenny, hi.
Hi. I'm really excited to actually hear this because I'm trying to do that myself. When I make chocolate chip cookies, I do the normal chocolate chip cookie recipe off the bag, whatever, but I put in a half a teaspoon of almond extract and cinnamon. And you don't sit there and say, wow, this tastes like cinnamon and almonds, but you just, everyone's like, what did you do to these cookies? They're so good.
Do you use the almond extract in place of the vanilla or in addition to the vanilla?
In addition.
Okay, great. I love the idea.
Jenny, thank you so much. And I think this would be, when people think spices in baking, cinnamon's going to be the thing that leaps to mind. And I assume that plays a role here.
I think the cinnamon chapter will probably be the easiest one for a lot of people to get started in. It's also the chapter where you've got the most to choose from. She's got the most recipes in here. She's got two different kinds of cinnamon rolls that you could make for breakfast, one with hazelnuts and dates, and the other with maple and cinnamon. She's got something she calls true love cake, which is something that was handed down in her family. This is a semolina flour cake, which has influences of Portuguese and Arabian traders who came to areas around Sri Lanka looking for cinnamon centuries ago. So this is a recipe that's been handed down for generations in her family, and she's sharing it with us.
Oh, well, my favorite, and Rob, you mentioned it, but the ginger cookies that you brought were amazing. I'm thinking I might take a little fall baking project on this weekend if I can get to it. Triple ginger cookies, not just single, triple threat ginger cookies. Tell us about those, Lauren.
Those are lovely. Again, she used less sugar than I was expecting. She does give you the option of rolling your ginger cookies in sugar before you bake them. I even left that out. They were so flavorful.
Yeah, it calls for 1 cup sugar.
And that's it. That's really all you need. It has powdered ginger, it has fresh grated ginger, and it also has candied ginger. Now, there you may want to be careful because different kinds of candied ginger have different amounts of sugar. The one I happen to use doesn't have very much. But you get also a sugary kick from the fact this has chopped dried apricots in it. So, again, don't need a lot of sugar. You've got all of these elements. This is also a cookie that has a little bit of ground black pepper in it, just half a teaspoon. But I've always loved apricots poached in a little bit of pepper and sugar syrup. It's a great dessert over ice cream.
Fresh
apricots, even dried apricots. You can poach them both. There's something about pepper and apricots, maybe because apricots are just so soft and so yielding that having that little perk of pepper does great things to them. So a little bit of pepper in with the ginger, a little bit of apricot with the chopped ginger, and it's an amazing cookie. As you say, it's on the Facebook page. It's on the Central Time website. You can use this cookie on its own. I bake them up both crispy and chewy. People around here seem to like the chewy ones better.
Yep.
But you can go crispy. You can use these for ice cream sandwiches. I actually think if you're like my mother and you make your own gingerbread houses at Christmas, these would be amazing used for the roof tiles on your gingerbread house.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but then you don't eat them necessarily. And that'd be a waste.
Are you kidding?
When they're sitting out, if they've been sitting out all month. I don't know.
Who says my mother's gingerbread houses sit out all month?
Oh, okay. Fair enough. They don't make it that long.
And then they get demolished.
Yeah, you mentioned some more ingredients, and that reminds me of something you had mentioned before the show. These come to us by way of Sri Lanka, but these are ingredients, for the most part, that we're going to be able to find here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. She does, admit that she has a bias. Coconut shows up in a lot of her recipes. Mangoes show up in a lot of her recipes. But most everything she mentions has got, it's either on the shelf or it's got an easy substitution. She mentions Lyle's Golden Syrup, which is a British product. It's very, very similar to a good light honey.
We're talking to Lori Skelton about baking with more spice than sugar in this edition of Food Friday.
And we're taking your calls now. What kind of spices do you like to include when you're baking? And how do you balance sweet and spicy in your baked goods? Do you have a favorite thing to bake this time of year? You can call in with your recipes and your baking secrets at 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation now with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about baking with spices.
And you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite thing to bake this time of year? Maybe we can get some ideas on how to jazz it up with a spice you might not have suspected. What spices do you enjoy baking with? What secret ingredients make it into your baked goods? Have you ever used things like pepper, caraway, fennel? Cloves, cardamom, in cookies and pastries. Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Find a recipe for triple ginger cookies there and ice cream sandwiches made therewith.
And Lori, we had a caller who wanted to know about baking with cardamom. Is that something that you tried with this experiment?
Cardamom is one of my favorite spices, but this is one because of its menthol qualities and how it smells can sometimes put people off if you use too much. And she does have some great recipes for cardamom. Cardamom is one of those lovely things that plays well with certain tropical fruits. She actually has mango popsicles in here with cardamom.
Wow.
Cardamom also is one thing that pairs well with dairy in any form. One of the easiest recipes in here is her cardamom coffee shortbread. Lots of butter in that, and then lots of spice. She's got two things in here that are a little bit out of my baking ability, but now I want to learn how to do that. She does filled donuts, and the cream she fills her donuts with is cardamom cream.
Wow.
And then she does something. Cardamom is really popular in Swedish cooking, and she has something that she calls a semle or semlor as plural. It's a soft bun with crushed cardamom in it so that the pieces of cardamom are fairly big. You bake the bun into this nice little round ball, then you cut off the top third, hollow out the inside, put almond paste inside the bun, and then put whipped cream on top of that, put the lid back on, and then get really, really messy while you're eating
wow.
it. It's like a cream puff to the nth degree. They look so good, I may have to get over my fear of yeasted baking and try making these.
We encourage you to get over that fear.
Okay.
We'll go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Sarah is on the line in Milwaukee. Sarah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Sarah?
I'm from Iran, and we use rose water in our baking and anything, basically. In yellow cake and basic sponge cake, I use rose water on the top. I noticed my kids love it so much, and I use saffron in there as well.
Rose water and saffron, which I think of when I think of Persian cooking.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Any saffron recommendations, Lori?
She has a couple of recipes with saffron in here, including one for a braided saffron bread with a little bit of currants in it. I was looking at this. It looks like a fairly easy recipe. I've seen some saffron braids that are just so elaborate. She makes the point of saying it's sweet enough to have this for breakfast, maybe spread with a little bit of jam, but it's not so sweet that you couldn't use it for turkey sandwiches as your Thanksgiving leftovers. It actually works really, really well with lighter, savory meats.
Yeah, are there a lot of the baked goods in here that could kind of go either way? You might have them as dessert, or it's something you could serve with a savory, with a meal?
Not most of these. I think that's one of the reasons why that saffron bread stood out. Most of these are straight out desserts, but they also do give you some ideas of how to possibly take it in a slightly different way. For instance, she does an apple Danish with caraway seeds in the filling. If you're not up for the Danish, but you do like cooking with apples, maybe you can start using caraway where you have would have only used like cinnamon before. I know I've had apples and caraway alongside pork dishes. So that might give you some ideas about how to take a particular ingredient and use it in a savory way.
We're talking with WPR's Lori Skelton right now for Food Friday. We're talking about the book that inspired her cooking spree for the last month or so. It's called The New Sugar and Spice, A Recipe for Bolder Baking. We're getting inspired about ways to incorporate more spices into our baking. And Lori, carrot cake is one of my all-time favorite desserts after strawberry shortcake, but it's up there.
Yeah.
And this has a new spin on carrot cake, this book. What does it do?
Well, carrots are inherently sweet. So if you're looking to pull back on the sugar, wherever it comes from, and bump up your use of spices, her version uses parsnips instead of carrots. Now, if you're lucky and you've got a farmer that's left parsnips in the ground until after the first frost, yes, parsnips will get a little bit sweeter than they would have been, say, 2 months ago. But still, they're not going to be as sweet as carrots. They've got an earthier flavor. So if you already love carrot cake, I'd give her parsnip cake a try. She does do your standard cream cheese frosting on top, but it's got a more grounded, again, all I can say is earthy sweet rather
than... Parsnips are white, aren't they?
Yes.
I'm just thinking about how the cake would look without those flecks of orange.
Well, it's still got spices in it. Yeah. It's still going to bake up maybe not as brown as you would expect, but it's still a lovely thing to look
at. Worth trying.
Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned cloves earlier, and like cardamom, cloves, I think, of something that's it's real easy to use too much. It can take over something. Recommendations for baking with cloves?
She uses a lot of fruit with her recipes, with cloves, pears, oranges, sour cherries. She's got a date nut cookie in here that is like a Fig Newton raised to the nth degree. If you've ever had a bad Christmas fruit cake...
And I have.
Okay. She does a kind of an upside-down cake with good dried fruit, not the ones that look neon-colored, and a lot of cloves within that. And that is an amazing way to get into cloves because you've got lovely fruit eventually on the top of the cake and then spices running all the way through it.
Lori, there's a rumor going around that you made some rice pudding that was maybe intended for Vilas Hall but didn't make it here. What happened with the rice pudding?
Okay. I admit, I love rice pudding. I was really surprised at what she suggested you put into it. Fresh bay leaves.
Oh.
I didn't even know you could get fresh bay leaves. Not everybody can, but I've started to see them show up in stores. I did buy some. You infuse the milk with the bay leaves. And then she recommends using sushi rice. So even though the rice is cooked, it isn't quite as mushy. There's a little bit of texture to it. I made a double batch. I honestly intended to bring it into Vilas Hall. Let's just say one of my coworkers got half a cup. The rest of it, my beau and I ate it within 24 hours. It was so good. Bay leaves came in with this combination of a little bit of menthol, a little bit of that mint, but it was so orangey. It was citrusy, but not sharp acid citrus. It was just this warm, round. It's one of the most comforting things I have ever eaten. And yes, I ate nearly the whole batch all by myself.
That's all right. We don't judge. You bring us free food all the time. You're entitled to one batch of rice pudding.
If you can find fresh bay leaves... Oh,
where
boy,
did,
is
where
it.
Did you find? Did you have to order them online?
No, actually, I didn't. I found them in a grocery store in Madison. I'm not saying every grocery store has them, but if your grocery store carries those plastic packets of fresh herbs in your produce section, there's a good bet that if they don't have bay leaves, they can get them, so just ask. If you can get them, I highly recommend you try making your favorite rice pudding recipe, cut back on the sugar and use bay leaves in the milk. It was amazing.
Very briefly, Lori, is this going to inspire experimentation now that you've used these unexpected spices?
I have to say, when I usually get a cookbook, I'll see maybe half 2/3, I want to do these recipes. I want to cook every single thing in this book. This is one of the best cookbooks I have come across in ages.
Lori, thanks as always. A lot of fun.
My pleasure.
That's Lori Skelton, one of our in-house foodies here at WPR. She joins us every month on Food Friday. This month, she talked about her adventure with the cookbook, The New Sugar and Spice, a recipe for bolder baking. You can find the author's recipe for triple ginger cookies on our Central Time Facebook page.